But let me introduce Dr. Jeremiah Abel.
Yeah.
And I looked at his where he's been. He's been everywhere in Asia. So this is a man that is reaching out, and it's got to be an amazing career. Because you're getting up in my age group. So he's got something to share with us.
No, that's the gray head.
It's a gray hair. Well, I just, you get a number two razor and take it off. Enhancing Power. And that title fascinated me, so I'm anxious to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
Without a PowerPoint, are you crippled?
No, I'm not crippled because they need to help out. Otherwise, how are they going to fill up that notes?
Maybe you ought to introduce yourself.
Okay. All right. Let me get my... I need this back afterwards, please. Okay, you can pass around to show. Now, my wife is a Malaysian Chinese, I'm a Malaysian Indian, and I have three grown-up daughters. My daughters are Susan Jeremiah is the eldest, Sharon's the second, and Marsha is the second, third one. They're all in living with me, and they're in Canada. The reason I landed in Canada is because of the education for the children. Malaysia is an Islamic country, and to get education for non-Muslims to go to university, no matter how much well they did well in the education, have difficulty in getting into universities. I was a pastor, and I was basically a church planter, planting churches, and I was praying a lot, wanting to see what the Lord wanted, how to get the children going. We had an invitation to go to Australia, but the Lord closed the door from Australia, but I ended up in Canada in a miraculous way. Bright Crest Seminary offered me to do my master's, and they said, if you would come along, bring your children along, and they'll benefit in a way. And that's how we landed here in Canada, all right? And all my children, my eldest is a school teacher. She also had gone to Bible college with music and children's ministry. And here it is. And then my second daughter is... computer specialist, and she's helping a large computer company as a consultant. The youngest is a computer engineer. All right. Now, all three of them, they are the one who support me. So mine is more of a faith ministry. I travel to different countries. I go back to Malaysia and Singapore and Indonesia, more so because I'm originally from Malaysia, Singapore, for ministries, because I was the general secretary of the Assemblies of God Churches in the 70s. And therefore, I planted a few churches, and they wanted me to come back practically every year. Now, I go back to Malaysia practically every year, at least twice a year. In fact, May the 6th, I'm flying off to Malaysia for a whole month, and then also Taiwan. I'll be in Taiwan as well, and then back. But the family, every summer whole time, because my daughter is a school teacher, and so what she does is that only when she can travel, the other two have to take leave. So they come along because they are also involved in ministry, especially in singing. They sing. All right? And so when they go along with me for mission trips, every summer times, back to Malaysia or Singapore or Taiwan, I've been to Australia and New Zealand as well. And I have my former members who are retired, and some of them are in some of these countries, and they always want to know that if I'm just by myself, they always know, where are the children? Because they have grown up, and they knew my children's little ones and grown up, and they want to know. So that's what happens. So they come along with me in mission trips. So I just want you to know, we minister the family, and many times it has been a tremendous blessing to the churches, because when they sing, they have felt the presence of the Lord. Okay? So I just want you to know. And we are now living in Edmonton. The way we came is because of the education, so they're here and Canada. But I travel every year to different countries. I'm glad to be here. So what I want you to know is this, as much as you have got this things. You want this? Maybe you can have this and give it back to me afterwards, okay? Pass it on to others to say. Since they're working on it. Now, I trust if those of you have Bibles, if you have a Bible, please make sure I want you to really help me out, because there are a number of passages of scriptures I want you to read, okay? I really want you to read.
Forward, backward.
Okay, forward, backward. Is it on? Now, one of the interesting things that I noticed was this, as if the Lord has prepared me to help to teach this area, is because guess who was the speaker, the primary speaker on first night?
Yes.
Terence. What was his subject?
Prayer.
Prayer. What was the speaker yesterday night? John came. Also on prayer. Right? It was interesting to note that all this said, and it seems to me that, oh, man, it's interesting that these two people had so much emphasis on prayer, and how much more that you need to know. Now, in your notes that I've given to you, I want you to know that there are a number of books that you can read. Please read it, and it'll help you. Where's my other notes? Handing out notes, please. Where's the other whole bunch?
At the back.
Okay. Now you find that my bibliography, there are so many books I've recommended for you to read. There are so many books, and you can get them and read them, and there's so much to read in this for prayer. Lots of people have written on prayer, right? So I want you to know that you can, if you get, some of you might even have some of these books. Okay? Now, if you have not, then if you can get them, some of these books, please read them. It will help you tremendously. One of the books that I recommended was by where's the book that I just showed? Oh, it's with you, right? Right, that's right. That book. It's free. If you can call that person, Thomas, or write to them, or email to them, and I'm sure they will be able to give you the book. Okay. Now, what I want you to do is this: as I said, if I'd like to have you have a Bible, please help me out. All right. Afterwards, okay. Thank you. Now. Yes, he's still working on it? Okay. And charging prayer for effective ethnic ministries. I'm so glad, you know, that there were a number of people from ethnic backgrounds that are here in this conference. And the emphasis has been so much that they have been really sharing and how important it is. And America and Canada is a multiracial country right now. So many people are coming to these countries, and some of them they really need to know. And we as believers have the privilege of ministering. All right? And even this morning, as the pastor shared, and he has given out a gift for us to take it, I trust that you'll take it and really use it, or give it to a pastor if you are just not a pastor, but you have a pastor. Give it to them, and I'm sure it'll help you. Now, even as we are looking into it, as it's getting ready, let me follow along. Religious experience of prayer has been found in every culture. Yes or no?
Yes.
Found in every culture. And in fact, every civilization, from the early civilizations, you'll know that they have it having prayer. Now, some practice as really not believing. It's like a ritual. Right? It's just like a ritual. Have no effect. Is prayer valid or effective? That's my question. As much as you heard Terence sharing how effective prayer is and being in 12th chapter of Romans. Acts. And John talking about the importance of prayer. Now, I want you to know that our Lord Jesus practiced it. If our Lord Jesus practiced it, then how are us believers? Should we be practicing it?
Yep.
That's right. So I trust that even as we are looking into it, as much as our Lord Jesus practiced it, and especially if you know, you see, and how effective it has been, Jesus knew that and desired very much. And if anyone knows and can quote for me, Luke 18:1. If you have your Bibles, you can look it. If not, you can quote for me.
What scripture?
Luke 18:1.
Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up.
They should what?
Always
pray and not give up. Isn't that interesting? What did Jesus say? Always pray. And then what did he say? And not give up. Jesus was the one. And if we are followers of disciples of Jesus, as much as the various speakers have emphasized, if we are followers of Jesus, as much as Jesus said, we are to what?
Do it.
And I trust that we will do it. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, what I want you to do is this, that apart from that, another passage of scripture that I really want to know is that prayer of a righteous man is very powerful and effective. What book is that?
James
chapter 5, verse 16. Right? This is a very familiar passage. But if James is saying that prayer is very effective, and if a righteous person begins to pray and is powerful, how much more we today need to come about and really desire very much to have effective prayer. Alright? Effective prayer. Now, when the righteous pray out, I like this book, Psalms. Come in please, sir.
Alright.
Handouts. Get out the handouts, please, sir.
There's a
valuation
sheet here.
Now, as they're picking up, I want you
to
know.
Go.
Another passage of scripture that I want someone to read for me is this. Psalms 34, verse 15 to 17, please. Psalms 34.
I called on the Lord, and he heard me and answered my prayer and delivered me from all my fears.
Wow. She's quoting. Can you go on reading the other verses as well? Verses.
Yeah.
Come on. Verse 15 to 17, please. Have you got it? Read it for me. Verses 15. Psalms 34.
Verse
15 to 17.
The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous.
Hold on here. What did it say?
The eyes of the Lord.
Can everybody repeat? The eyes of the Lord are
on
the righteous. If every one of you have been a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and God has made you righteous, then what happens? If you are praying, what happens? What happens?
The eyes of the Lord
are on the righteous. What else? He's
His ears are...
Oh, I'm glad. You see, his eyes, that means he's not blind. He knows. And the next thing is, I want to know, he hears. How wonderful it is to know the scriptures are clear, that the eyes of the Lord are open. His ears are
open.
They're attentive. They hear our cry. How much we really need to really believe that. You see, in Canada, a couple of times in some places, a lot of people like to quote a particular passage of scripture. You know what passage of scripture? And I think every one of you might quote. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. Come on. Only one person knows how to go. I thought everybody should go then.
Yeah.
Come on, let's hear it.
If
my people are you called by his name?
Yes.
And then what else?
Will humble themselves
and pray.
Seek my face.
What else?
I will hear
and heal the land.
Heal the land. But you're missing something else. Missing something else. Come on, if you have your Bibles, please read that for me. Forsake our sins. You got that? You got it in your Bible?
Yeah, I do, but I didn't get it that quickly.
That's okay. See, this is, like people like to quote that verses. That particular verse, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and forsake their wicked ways and cry out to the Lord, He will heal the land. Now we have been hearing so much about USA and as well as Canada of all the things that have been happening, and the situation, the spiritual condition is such. What do we need to do? If the word of God, if you're a believer and if you really believe God's word, then what does God's word say to us? Thank you, TV. Okay. Okay. We have already done that. Okay. Let me see. Yes.
It also adds in there, we missed that if people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face.
Yes.
And turn away from them.
Seek my, I'm glad. You see, I like, see, this is why, if you have your Bibles, please have your Bibles along, because a number of scriptures we're going to read and bless, okay? If I want you to see, you see, this is important, that as much as the sister read that particular passage of scripture, we need to really be Bible-believing Christians. No amen, huh?
Amen.
Come on. Amen. Okay? We need to be Bible Christians, obeying, okay? Now, I have a couple of things that I want you to know. The greatest thing that anyone can do for God and for man is to
pray.
The greatest people of the earth today are people who pray. Garden. Now, he has written the books and I have given the bibliography you can check out. Now, the couple of people I want you to know. Daniel is one of our great examples of prayer. Daniel. And the other person is Hudson Taylor. Now, what I want you to understand about these two people is this. Where it comes to, why do we pray? Because it is important for us that God desires to bring about blessings. God desires to save the people. As much as we have been saved and forgiven, won't you also believe and desire very much to see that other people also hear? As much as they're talking about this whole area, there are so many people that are coming, they are here, we need to reach out to them in love. And I couldn't help but recognize when Dr. John Kim, you know, he used this word about prayer, and he says, ownership. Mm-hmm. He would. How many of you were there last night? Mm-hmm. Ownership, right? He had talked about ownership, and the emphasis was prayer. Over and over again. And every time he quoted, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If God loved the world, how much more we need to love the people around us? And even this morning, the speaker was making the same statement, right? It's interesting. So I want you to know, here was this person, you see, and Hudson Taylor's belief to do what? He was one who prayed, and this is what is, it's reported that Hudson Taylor, who's Hudson Taylor? Anybody knows? He's a missionary to
China.
Now, what he did was this. He never let the sun rise while he was in China without finding him on knees in prayer. That was what he was doing. And that's why he was so effective. The China in the mission. I met some people in Singapore. And I believe probably the grandson of Hudson Taylor. He was sharing a rich heritage he had. And I trust that we are here today. And I like Daniel too. Daniel prayed what? How many times? Three times? Alright, three times a day. You know, I can't help but realize, you know, how much it is important. Like, we like to sing. Some of us like to use this particular passage of scripture that likes to sing, you know, over and over again. And that is where we, there's a passage of scripture that when I come along that I will like to see. You see, that we need to be really there. And I believe that, how many of you know Psalms 55 verse 17? Have a definite time of prayer. Okay? When you say you have a definite time of prayer, Jesus is our best example. Alright? In Mark chapter 1 verse 35, where? Early in the morning. Very early in the morning, he prayed. The next person, Hudson Taylor, is another example I've already referred to. And then I want you to know, the psalmist. Now this is what I want you to say. The psalmist says in chapter verse 17 of 55. And I'm sure some of you can help me to sing this particular chorus. God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Hey, some of you don't know. Huh? Oldest. We seniors still sing that song. Alright? So Daniel prayed 3 times a day. And here in Psalms, and I believe he practiced it. And I believe David practiced it too. So I just want to encourage you that, you know, when you begin to really desire very much to see God move in this land, take time to pray. Take time to pray. Because a definite time to pray. Alright? Paul exhorts us to pray without ceasing. You know this passage of scriptures, okay? Paul encourages us. So as you read this passage of scriptures, I want to, because time has really gone so much, so I'm not going to ask you to read many. The references are given to you, right? So it will help you to follow along and go through. These handouts are given to you so that you can have them and then help yourself again to go through again, because this is just a short time that we have. But take hold of these notes and then go through again yourself. It will help you tremendously. Okay? Then have what? A definite time of prayer. Okay? Then the next thing is just have a definite place of prayer. Alright? Why? I want you to see, it is good to get alone to pray. So there will be no disturbance, right? Switch off the TV. Switch off music. Some people, you know, I'm amazed at how some people can have music along and do some work. I have a hard time to do that. Some people do that. And I want you to know. Alright, then the next thing he says that, examples are, they are given a few examples. Jesus teaches us to ensure privacy of prayer. And the reference is Matthew 6:6. And then I want you to know that Jesus went to the hills to pray. Right? Look, Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, correct? So when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, I just want you to know, he really prayed through so much, you know, that you and I need to understand this. Alright? Then I want you to know, one of the greatest evangelists, guess who? Who do you think one of the greatest evangelists is? Who had more? Huh?
Paul.
Paul. No, I'm not talking about Paul, the apostle Paul. Billy Graham was a great evangelist, but he did not have, you know, the response and success, though we may say, but someone said it's only about 10% people who've carried on. Guess who? Charles Finney. Charles Finney. And he is one who's believed to have walked in the woods to pray. If you ever get to get some of the books that he's about Charles Finney, revival, you know, you'll notice that how he has gone to really pray. And God had to deal with him, you know. Alright, so here it is. Have a definite place of prayer as well. And now the next one I want you to follow along is what? The content of prayer. Can you help me to read for me 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. Paul urges, okay. Have you got that? Who can help read for me?
Paul urged that intercession be made for all men.
Mm-hmm. For who?
For all men.
For all men. Did he say only for some people? Did he say only just for the Koreans over here?
No.
Or for the Chinese?
No.
Or the Spanish, just for the Spanish speaking people? No. He desired why? For all people. Why? Simply because God so loved the world. He just didn't love certain ethnic people, but he loved all people. And here I want you to know that the Apostle Paul is writing, he says, urges intercession be made for all men. And a couple of things I want you to know, here is this, in this, there are 5 elements that I want you to know, okay, where intercession is concerned. What are the 5 elements? Worship is essential for effective prayer ministry. Now, I'm sure you have read or prayed the Lord's Prayer. How does the Lord's Prayer begin? Our Father, who art in heaven. What's the next one? Hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? Come on. Worship, isn't it? Lifting up. Worship. It's not begging, but just worship. And I want you to know that there's a couple of things that I want you to see, and this is it. Thanksgiving. Alright? Thanksgiving should occupy at least as much time in prayer, thanking God. In everything give thanks. You don't know. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Wow. Am I speaking to people, you know? Here, this is important for us, you see, thanksgiving. What's the next one? Confession. See, follow along. Establishes the right relationship with God, and it's necessary for prayer. Right relationship. Okay? If you really, confession is being made. You see, now, I let you know, read the book of Daniel, please. Alright, read the book of Daniel, and if you read his prayer, especially the 9th chapter, the 8th to the 9th chapter book of Daniel, he prayed, he confessed, and even as he confessed, he not only confessed for his sins, but the sins of his people, his leaders as well. And this is so important for us. And now, petition is a God-glorifying form of prayer. Okay? These are the five elements that I want you to know. Intercession is finally is the priestly ministry for every New Testament believer. Intercession. It's only then coming on behalf and praying and asking the Lord to minister. Okay? Now, this is what I want you to understand. It is so important for us that the Bible is very clear that we need to really have much time in prayer. If we don't spend time in prayer, we're not going to be effective. We're not going to see results. The only way to see results is much prayer. It's very sad today. We used to have, I don't know whether it's still practiced here or not, my days, you know, in the 50s and the 60s, when I was pastoring churches back in Malaysia, we used to have all-night prayer meetings. You do not hear all-night prayer meetings nowadays. And prayer? Listen, you can participate with me, please. Help me out. I like people to contribute as well. Okay? So you how many of you are pastors here? One or two pastors. Alright? Are you still pastoring? Yes. So how much prayer emphasis is there in your church? Help me out.
We have a prayer time Thursday mornings, prayer time with staff Wednesday mornings, prayer time for the church Sunday night.
So three times? Well, once again? Prayer time for?
Staff Wednesday morning.
Staff for Wednesday morning?
It's prayer time for general people in the church. Thursday
general people, okay.
And then for church Sunday night.
Sunday night.
For people to come and be prayed for.
And be prayed for, that's another area. Now let me ask you, what's your name?
Gary,
let me ask you, how much time do you have for prayer meeting, prayer nights? Just not the, no embarrassment, please, though, okay.
Sunday night's about an hour and a half.
1.5 hours, see. That's once a week, see. Can we encourage our people, our congregations, to take time to be praying all by themselves as well?
Yeah.
Leaders getting together? Praying together. Now, one of the things I had was this. A few years ago, I had come back from Peru, after ministering in Peru. The pastors in Edmonton wanted to have, they were so concerned over what's going on in Canada, and especially in Alberta. So they wanted, in Edmonton, wanted to have pastors come together in prayer. They have, you know, about 300 pastors in the city itself. But then they got together and they wanted to have the evangelical pastors got together and said, look, we want to have a prayer time. So one of my friends, who was a pastor of a large church of 1,000 or people, had held out to have his church open. All right. Now, the thing was this. I had come back, and someone sent me an email and said, Pastor Abel, would you come? I was not really, you know, I've been to pastors' meetings so many times, and then sometimes I don't see any benefit. There's no sorry for that. But then, I'm sure you would understand what I'm saying, okay? Sometimes you go along off-tangent too. So, but then one of my friends says, no, you need to come. I said, okay, I'll go. See? And the amazing thing was this, that surprising thing was this, there were not 300 pastors, or 200 pastors, or 100 pastors. There were only about 20 of us. And they were asking this question, when can we pray? What day can we pray, you see? I tell you, they were arguing about this, not on Mondays because it's our off day. And then they were asking, and Pastor Bob Gell, who is the pastor of the church who had opened the door, he was literally pleading, listen people, I will open the door anytime, early morning, hour, late night, anytime, I'll open the door for you. You just tell. And they were arguing along and making all sorts of statements and going along. I'm sitting down and listening to these people. I said, Lord, what's happening here? And the more I was sitting down, I felt the Lord, you know, say, tell the people to stop it and say, put first things first. And I was reluctant. Listen, honestly. Because there were two people who were of different color of skin. Myself and another person. The rest were all Caucasians. They were saying, no, we need Mondays off, or we have to, you know, early morning hour, we need to send our children, so forth. And here I'm listening, and they're not coming about trying to make a decision when they can pray, or what time they can pray, or which day they can pray. Or sometimes say, once a month, you know, pastor's meeting, once a month, it's great if they can get it together. But then they were going along often, and I'm sitting down here, and I felt was, you know, and I was literally shaking, and I felt the anointing of the Lord coming upon me, and I was shaking, and the Lord said, I want you to say it. I said, no, not me, Lord. I said, not me, Lord. See, the more I resisted, the more I felt so uncomfortable, I couldn't say, Father, brothers, listen, I just want you to know, God wants you to put first things first. The moment I said it, for some reason, everybody stopped, and then they say, every Tuesday mornings at 9 to 10. And I sat down, little shaking, you know. And they finished it, and they agreed every Tuesdays from 9 to 10, and they left. Reverend Bob Gell, who was all the time waiting, he looked at me, because he was wondering, you know, who am I? He said, brother, can I know your name again? I said, Jeremiah, which church do you belong to? I looked at him, I said, same as yours. I'm an ordained minister of the Assemblies of God of Canada. It was a large Assemblies of God church. And I'm also an ordained minister of the Assemblies of God in Malaysia. They won't even release me even though I'm in my 70s now. They said, no, you're one of the pioneers. You need to help. Come every time. So that's why I'm going. Here I was sitting, you know. He said, can I talk to you? I said, okay. So he took me to his office. And this is what he said. If it had come from somebody else, we would not have made a decision. But I want to respect you, brother. Because, see, this is the exact words. You're a man of God. And when you spoke those words, everybody had to listen and say yes. So we had that prayer meetings for a couple of years. From 20, we went to 50, 60 people. Then, for some apparent reason, I told them, I may not be able to be there every week because I travel. See, they went to get together, then somehow they decided to split the meetings. That was a bad decision. When we had 50, 60, 70 people coming along, was great. But then when they split, having three different places, it went down. And today they're trying to revive again. Okay? Let's go on, otherwise we'll be here whole day. Now, three conditions of prayer, effective prayer. Prayer and faith. Prayer in faith. Now this is what I want you to know. Prayer in faith. Faith honors God and God honors faith when it is exercised. You get that? Faith honors God, all right, and God honors faith. If you can remember reading the scriptures, all right, if you were reading the Gospels, every time when there was a need, can you tell me what happened when the four people took the guy in his bed, opened up the roof? What happened?
He got healed.
Yeah. Whose faith?
When Jesus saw the faith of the four men.
The faith of the four men. You check up. Another passage of scripture, the centurion had sent for his servant to be healed. And yet, what did Jesus command? It is his faith. Check it up over and over again. Every time, whenever the Lord wrought about, he said, the blind man called out, what do you want? He wanted sight. So faith. Got it? So here it is, it's faith, you see, that I want you to see. Where am I? This is a... Okay. Faith honors God and God honors faith when it is exercised. Now James chapter 1 verse 6 to 18, when he asks, he must what?
Believe
and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord if he is what? A double-minded person. Unable and is thus. Okay? So here it is important for us, as much as we look into some of these passages of scriptures, I want you to understand how much God desires for us that we should really desire to receive from God and not to be double-minded. Believe God. Jesus in Matthew 21 verse 22. Can you get that passage of scripture? Anyone has got it, please. What did Jesus say?
If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer.
Yes. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. If you believe. See, those people, you see, even in the scriptures, it says, he wanted healing. Jesus said, if you believe, you'll receive it. And this is important for us, that I want you to understand. If you believe, you will receive it. Now, Hebrews chapter 6 is a very passive scripture. I'm sure you can quote. Can you quote without reading it? Come on. Without
faith. Jesus. He who comes to God and believes that he hears it, and that he's a rewarder of those who don't believe.
I want you to understand, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe. Just back again, believe. Back again, believe, alright? The writer book of Hebrews says that. And what he says, he exists that he rewards those who diligently or earnestly seek him. Alright? The third thing I want you to see is this. Praying is in the will of God. Praying in the will of God. Every step in praying in the will of God is to surrender to His will. You get that? To surrender to His will. The will of God. The Apostle Paul, Apostle John, makes it clear. And this is what he says. If you were to read this passage of Scripture. Okay? What does he say? It is clear that there is confidence if we are approaching God, and that if we ask anything, what? Come on. According to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask Him. You got that? Mm-hmm. What we ask Him. This is what the Apostle John made the statement in 1 John chapter 5 verse 14. Now I like this other one. Is this in Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8. He encourages to pray without wrath and doubting. Some years ago, I was invited to go to Australia to minister. Do they still have full gospel businessmen chapters here? No? Those days they used to have. Demonstrate, you can remember? Now it's dwindled down. I don't know what's happened. This in the 70s, there was such a desire for businessmen to come along and they'll be praying. And always they will have leaders. And the pastor has to be supposed to be an advisor. Alright? So in Malaysia, I happened to be an advisory role for those businessmen when they had this meeting. Now, they had arranged, because some of my members had immigrated to Australia, they had felt that, you know, there are some businessmen chapters in Australia, and they wanted me to come and minister to them, and help them and pray with them. So I said, okay, and they paid my fare to go. So I went, and I'm trying to figure out. It was after dinner fellowship. I don't know whether you would know some of these cities. Sydney, and Perth, Canberra, and Brisbane, see. But from Sydney, they flew me to a place known Coonabarabran. And from Coonabarabran, they flew me to another place known as Armadale. Very British. Okay? And so they were there, and after dinner, we had that, and a few people got together and they want me to pray for them. And sometimes the word of knowledge comes upon me, and if there was a person who was nearly needing healing, so I wanted to pray for them. See? And I said to them, would you just lift up your hands and don't doubt God? Just that. And I'll just pray for you, see? And there was this lady who has been having some problems for some years, you know. And I said, just lift up. She had difficulty in wanting to lift up her hands. Because they did not practice lifting up of hands. Yeah, the scripture says what? Come on. Can you read that verse, please?
I will have men in every place to lift up holy hands and pray.
Lift up holy hands and pray.
Without anger or quarreling.
No. Yeah, I have a reference given to you.
Encourages.
See. And I prayed. I said, don't doubt God. And you know, after I had finished praying, she felt such a release come upon her, and there was some area of resentment. And I felt the Lord minister to me. He said, ask her to forgive and release the person you had that such, you know, resentment. And after that, you know, when she began to pray and seek the Lord and say, Lord, I forgive them. I don't want to hold anything against them. She was in pain in some places. The Lord just healed her completely. Not that I heal. Who healed? The Lord healed. The Lord healed her. So this is important for us. The three conditions of effective prayer is praying in the will of God. Okay? And such that I want you to understand that as we follow along. Alright? Pray definitely. Alright? Pray definitely. Alright? Here it is. I want you to see some things here. Pray. When one knows God's will in a matter, you can pray specifically, or rather to say specifically and positively. Alright? This is what I wanted to see. What's going on here? When one knows God's will in a matter, one can pray specifically and positively. Now, I made reference to Daniel, correct? Can anyone tell me some prayers of Daniel first? Help me, please. Huh? No? Yes.
He asked prayer to interpret the king's dreams.
Yes, that's right. Hey, go home and read the book of Daniel again. Huh? In the second chapter, what did he do? The king was so rashful that he wanted to kill all those guys and the magicians and astrologers, all were trying to do. No answer. But Daniel told the person who was in charge, he said, look, hey, give us some time. that me and my colleagues, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to pray together and seek the Lord. Very specifically, what did Daniel do? He prayed because nobody, the king did not know what he dreamed. Right? So Daniel went to the Lord. Why? The Lord had the answer. The Lord revealed to him. So if you read the second chapter of book of Daniel, you'll find exactly how Daniel had such wisdom more than 10 times than the scripture says, and his colleagues, and as such that he was able to interpret the dream to the king. Then he said, the king, when you were sleeping a long way, you could not, and you wondering, no one will come after me, because he was one of the greatest kingdoms. And he had this image. And he was wondering what's going on. And he didn't know what it's all about. And then he was asking, well, nobody know. But Daniel began to interpret the whole dream. What is all about. Man, I tell you. Daniel didn't stop there, you know. I like the 9th chapter. That I wanted to see. Anyone has a Bible, please read the 9th chapter of Daniel. Daniel is a good example, I said. Alright, the 9th chapter. Daniel was very specific and he knew definitely. Why? The Jewish people were in exile in Babylon for how long?
70 years.
Okay, thank you. Who prophesied that they will bear for 70 years?
Jeremiah
prophesied. So, I'm glad that Daniel was a Bible-believing person. He believed what God had said. He believed what the prophet Daniel had said, or Jeremiah had said. And how much more, folks, listen, we in the church need to believe the Word of God. Right? God's Word is true. God's Word has been settled. So Daniel told the, you know, he said, God, you had, the 70 years was coming to a completion. And therefore he turned around and he said, God, this is your word. You said so. What's happening? He's going to pray because he needs to go back to?
Jerusalem.
Back to Jerusalem. So he prayed earnestly and sought the Lord. Folks, listen. I teach on, on the end times prophecy on the book of Daniel. Of the 70 weeks. Alright, that takes a couple of hours for me. Because the Lord had helped me of certain materials I had. Newspapers I read back in Malaysia those days, you know, of how the former Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, who passed away, mm-hmm. you know, how what he made a statement. It was just a 4 inches per square paper. In News 3 times in Malaysia, though they do not recognize Israel, yet it was a New Testament, straight times paper that came along. And I was excited and I read it. I said, whoo! And he was saying, Ariel Sharon was saying 75% out of this is referring to Jordan. Only 25% was now in their hands. But 75% was of Jordan, Transjordan. He says, belongs to Israel. I said, where is this guy coming from? You see? Then the next, there were 3 important statements. The second statement says, we are basing it from our biblical borders. Hey, he's a believer. He was saying, standing, it's a biblical borders. And my understanding, what is he talking about biblical borders? That's when I began to look into the scriptures. You see? And then he said, I wanted Palestinians and everybody to know, it's an inseparable thing for people to know and to understand that this is what God has said and we are saying. We're not asking for it now, but this is what God said. And that's when I began to do my research to check it out and see. Folks, listen. The promise of God, you see, to the nation of Israel began with whom?
Abraham.
And God had spelled out the very boundaries of Israel. Chapter 15 of Genesis. Read the very last few verses of Genesis chapter 15. God spelled out exactly, he named the various type of people, all the parasites and Ammonites and whatever, termites. Okay. You understand what I'm saying, right? Sometimes it's just difficult to pronounce some of these names. And so here they are, and very clearly stated, very clearly. and praise the Lord. And then he said, God made that promise not only to Abraham, but also to Isaac. And then to Jacob. And 400 years later, who is he appealing to and calling upon?
Moses.
And he's telling the same thing to Moses. And when Moses is dead, who is the successor of Moses? Come on.
Joshua.
Read the book of Joshua and he will show out exactly the same statements are made, what God made the promise to Abraham, say to Isaac, say to Jacob, say to Moses, and then to Joshua, and they are all making very clear, and they have come to God. Folks, listen, you and I need to be really Bible believing people and recognize the word of God is true, and God's word is what? Powerful.
Consistent.
God's word never fail. And I want you to know, Daniel, he came to God. And one of the most interesting things was this, God revealed to him of the 70 weeks actually talking about what he was going to do with the Jewish people that 490 years and coming to the end time. Alright? That's another series. I have no time. But I want you to know so much there that I can't help but realize how much God desires very much for us as believers to take hold of his promises. All his promises are yea and amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. Someone read for me 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 please.
In Christ all the promises of God are yea and amen.
In Christ all the promises. All the promises are yea and
amen.
Amen. Now I like this, the Living Bible, Tyndale Price, okay? I like that translation because we use a number of translations. This is how it says, God carries out all his promises, no matter how many of them there are, for he is faithful. He will fulfill. He carries out, he fulfills, he is faithful. Three things. Carries out, he fulfills, he is faithful. As far as God is concerned. All the promises. So you and I can come to God. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, forsake their wicked ways, what happens? And call upon his name, he will hear, and he will heal the land. That's important. So here we are. I want you to know. Daniel is a good example. And I believe that, you know, I can't help but when Terence was sharing, you know, on prayer, I said, oh, these guys are helping me out. And then last night, Dr. John came, right? And he was talking about it. I said, man, praise the Lord. Said, let's go on, otherwise we'll be here. All right. When one knows God's will,
backwards.
Oh, I went backwards. Okay, where am I? Okay, King David. Here it is. David in Psalms 51 was very specific in his request for forgiveness and cleansing. Right? David. Very clear. You see, I like that particular song that we used to sing. You know? Anyone remember some of the song? Maybe my sister there. David. I'm trying to think along. Not God answers prayer. Create in me a clean heart. It's from the book of Psalms, isn't it? Why? He had sinned. He had come to God. And very specifically he came to God and said, what, Lord, I want you to create in me a clean heart. And renew my spirit. This is what I want to know. Request for forgiveness and cleansing. If God is, he can do that, how much more today? You know, there was over and over again, the emphasis was, you know, in the last few speakers have been really bringing about the same truth. And I said, oh Lord, thank you that you want me to do this, and they're already doing everything for me. And what an emphasis. Look, that has been the emphasis throughout this whole conference. And I trust that you'll take a heart and really put into practice. Okay? Here it is. Now my conclusion. Am I doing okay? Alright? Good. Now this is what I wanted to say in conclusion. See, pray in faith, in the will of God, and we definitely and should be practiced daily. Now let me see if I'm going. Now here it is, another important passage of scriptures I want you to do. This is important for us, praying in the Holy Spirit. Over and over again, all the speakers emphasize also to be praying in the Spirit. Take down these references, please, and I want to say, we should be filled with the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer and requests. Got that? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And then Jude. I like Jude. There's only one chapter. Right? Right? Let's read this particular first verse, please. If you have a Bible, who has the Bible? Just one verse, verse 20. Read it for me, please.
Build yourselves.
Build your... Read the whole verse, please. Verse 20.
Build yourselves up in the Most High faith and pray in the Holy Spirit.
I'm sure, but you're missing the first part of it.
Oh,
you don't have that.
I'm reading through.
Oh, you're reading from there. I don't understand. Who's the Bible, please? Come on, read it for me.
But you, beloved...
Oh, that's what I wanted.
You, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit.
You, beloved, who was he addressing? He was addressing the church. He was addressing believers. Now, I trust that you're all beloved of the Lord. Yes or no?
Yes.
Huh? You have your new gadget down there, my brother, sitting in the back. Read it for me, please.
This is for you, dear friends.
Oh, dear friends here now.
Must continue to build your most holy faith.
Wow.
To your own benefit.
For your own benefit. Hey, what translation is that?
It says, furthermore, continue to pray in the Holy Spirit.
Wow. What translation are you reading?
The International Standard Version.
Okay, International Standard Version. People have different versions, okay? I like people, you know, to read different versions and they can take some of those things.
Yeah.
Alright? It's a friends here. But then he says, beloved, you say. We are beloved of the Lord. How much more we really need to recognize, okay? So this is important for us. Now, now this is another thing that I want to... Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. Three things to take note from these two verses. Alright? Since you have the passage of scripture, read verse... Come on. If you have your Bibles, Romans 8, 26 and 27. Three important things that I want you to see. Come on. Who has got the Bible? Read it for me. Come on, sister.
Likewise, the
Holy Spirit helps us
In our weakness,
for
we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
Three things. It is effective prayer. Got that? It's effective prayer. Secondly, it is a highest time of prayer, intercessory prayer. And thirdly, it is in the will of God. Over and over again, we have in this session, we have seen how times it has to be in the will of God, right? It's in the will of God. Then I want to see Ephesians 6:18.
And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people.
Wow. Read that again, sister. Come on. Listen very carefully.
And pray in the Spirit on all occasions.
On all occasions. And then?
With all kinds of prayer.
With all kinds of prayer. Remember, we had?
And request. With this in mind. Be alert. And always keep on praying for all the Lord's people.
For all the Lord's people. I tell you, praying on all occasions. Okay? Here it is. This is my seminar. That's my email. And in my handout, you have my address there. You know, so please pray for me because I travel quite a lot. Okay? I'm leaving for Malaysia And all the four Sundays have been already booked to preach in different churches. And I have to fly to East Malaysia to preach in an Anglican church. Okay? Yes? In an Anglican church who have become charismatic.
Yes, a lot of them have.
I tell you, a couple of years earlier, I was in St. Faith Church, which has 1,000 over members in congregation. The cathedral, they have a morning more liturgical service. In the evening, they have a more free worship and verses. But here in St. Faith, they decided, okay? And now I tell you, they're very careful who are allowed to go to the pulpit to preach. Yeah. You see. But I was a former Anglican, right from the Church of England, so that was okay. So, right, because I was confirmed by the bishop. My younger days, yes. My parents were very committed Christians, and my father was the weakest warden. Okay, the two people in the local church, weakest warden and the people's warden. All right, and so I inherited the position. Later on, and as such that, you know, and the Anglican vicar was so upset with me when I left the Anglican church and went to the Bible college for the Assemblies of God Bible College. And they were so upset. How come you want our cream people to go to St. Peter's Hall in Singapore? How come you're not going there? Well, the Lord had been ministering to me, and that's what happened to me. Okay? So here, folks, listen. I want you to pray much for me, and I trust the Lord will bless you. I trust that this is just a simple seminar. But read those, some of those books that I have listed there. It will help you tremendously. Okay? I will ask my brother here. Would you pray, please?
What day did you leave for Malaysia?
On the 6th of May. And I'm back. I'm preaching in Taiwan on Pentecost Sunday in the church that the pastor whom I led to the Lord 40 years ago. He's in Taiwan. He's married to another Taiwanese lady. She's also a pastor there. And they insisted, Pastor, you're not going to come back to Canada. You need to come to Taiwan for us for Pentecost Sunday. I'll be there. Can you pray for me, please?
Gracious Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. Thank you for these reminders of the importance to pray at all times, on all occasions, in the fullness of your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for Brother Jeremiah, for your hand of blessing upon him and his family, for the ministry that you've entrusted to him. Father, as he prepares to leave shortly for Malaysia, Father, we pray that you go before him, that you grant him safety. Lord, thank you for each opportunity that you give to him while there, as well as in Taiwan, to share your word. Pray, Lord, that as he shares, you would minister through him. That you would grant him boldness to proclaim your truth.
Thank you, Lord.
That his heart would be touched. That people would be drawn to you. Lord, pray that as he goes, Father, you would accomplish great things through him for Jesus' sake, for your glory. Pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for coming and being patient. I know we lost much time. But I had to rush through, otherwise I would be using some other illustrations as well. Some of my experiences of a hand, he said. But I had to cut this out.
Yeah, we
do.
We have another half hour.
I know.
Share your experience.
No. Yeah. It's lunch hour for you all, right?
No,
it's until 12:30.
Yes.
Now, why was I thinking it was 11 to 12?
I don't know, but you have 20 minutes. So tell us some stories of other answers to prayer.
Oh, okay. Some miracles. Okay, let's see. You see, the Lord was dealing with me, you know, as a young Anglican member, and I was in the parochial council in the church of the Anglican church. I was a young school teacher at that time, and what happened was this: the parochial council members, they are some sort of like leaders, having different seven other churches. And the vicar has to go to some of these churches. And there were seven other people. They were all very professional people. They were doctors. They were engineers. They were consultants and all these people. All right? And here I was, this young fellow. All right? Sitting along with him because I took my father's position. And here I was sitting down and listening to some of the things they were saying. And I had made some statements, okay? And I tell you, there was a doctor and a lawyer. Mother was a lawyer and a, I said mother was a doctor and the son was a lawyer, see. And they were also in the meeting as well. And they always felt, you know, they said, look, we want you to take the evening service. In the evening service, it is not very much attended, but those who really want to come for an evening service will come. And they had to speak to the vicar. And I had desire very much to just to be a blessing, to just minister and to pray for people. And the Lord answered my prayer when these parochial council members said, look, we would like to have Jeremiah take the evening service, vicar, because he'd go to some other city, some other places for services. So can he take? And it was answered. All right? That was one area. But then, when I was pioneering the church, the first church in Alosa, in the 60s, you see, we in the Assemblies of God, we went out to pioneer the work. When I was pioneering this work, the Lord was speaking to me that we had a rented building. All right? In a rented building, just about people, that about 50, 60 people could sit. Now, there were more people coming along, and we were praying along, and wanted a place where we could have a larger place. Now, there was a place where there was a house, a nice, you may think it's like a bungalow house, okay? And they had this big hall in front. They can sit about 100 people if you open up. And upstairs, three rooms, and I could stay upstairs. See, to cut, because I'm more on a faith ministry, so I was asking the Lord to help us. It so happened that this particular building was for sale, and there were people trying to negotiate to get some, you know, how to see how this guy happened to be the town's rich miser. He owned the building. His son had immigrated to Australia, and so he was planning to go to immigrate to Australia after selling this property. So he was trying to sell his property, and they were trying, knowing that he was desperate to go to Australia and join his son, there were people trying to take advantage. Okay, that's how it was, right? Trying to take advantage and wanted to see how much he can. He had listed for 30,000, that building those days, okay? That is quite a big sum. Now it's about $300,000-$400,000 worth. But then what are you saying? He'd asked for 30,000. These guys were trying to, you know, chop down the amount, 25,000 so forth, nothing happened. It so happened that a friend of mine, who was a friend of this particular person, they have retired from a government department, from the drainage irrigation department, they were both. And both these guys used to race in big Holley motorbicycles. Alright? Now he came to know me and he said, I'm looking for a place. Then he told me, Pastor, there is this place, you know, this belongs to my friend. I said, okay. And I asked him. He said, yes. And this is what he said. You're interested? I said, yes. And he used to, you know, he had a car. He won't drive his car to go and see the place. He'll use his bicycle to drive. That's why people call him the miser of the town. Stingy. And come to see the house. He's afraid that somebody might vandalize the house. So go back. So I met him and I asked him, how much would you want the house for? And then because of his friend, he said, okay, the house has been on sale and people don't want to really, they're chopping down like anything, the amount. But if it's your friend, your pastor, right? He said, yes. He said to me, listen, I will make it 28,000. 28,000. I said, that was okay. And I said, Lord, this is what, if you want that, I'm claiming this property for you, Lord. Alright? And asked him. And this is what he said. It was in June that I met him. And then he said to me, I said, I need to try to pray and ask the Lord for guidance to take a loan or somewhere. And from the Assemblies of God headquarters to find out if they could help me to get the loan, you see. In the meantime, some other things were working out. And he said to me, listen, I want to leave to see my son in December. In January, I want to be there. So If you can make the deal by December, it'll be great. 20,000. 28,000. And then he stopped me and he said, look, calls me Reverend, I want you to know this. If you can get me the amount, it didn't happen that at first. I told him, listen, why not you allow us to stay in that building right now, free of charge, because you want somebody to watch the building, right? He looked at me. This is what he did. He looked at me. He said, okay, I can work that out. And then by the December 31st, if I can get the money and pay you, will it be okay? I had faith and I trusted the Lord. I said, God, because God had laid upon my heart to say, yeah, this is a building. And I said, okay. And he said, then he told me, if you come on the 31st of December and give me the check, instead of making 28,000, make it 27,000. My contribution is 1,000. Hey, figure it out. The people call him town miser. The developer of this whole place was living 3 doors away, and he was trying to sell it, and he did not know that he had made the deal. Okay? Now, this is funny. I'm an ordained minister of the Assemblies of God. In those early days, we had the Methodists and the Anglicans and the Baptists were very much against Pentecostals. They didn't want any Pentecostal to be around. They called us by all names. Okay? Anyway, what happened was this. They were trying to stop me from buying this building as well. When they heard that I was interested, they were willing to come out with cash for 25,000, which they had a grant. The guy said, no deal. I made a gentleman promise. That's what he said. I made a gentleman promise, and by 31st of December, if they can't come out, then my price for you is still 30,000. That's what he did. See, the Lord worked out a miracle for me. See, the way he worked out was this. One of my lecturers in the Bible college in Malaysia was, he was one of my prophecy teachers. I was one of the best prophecy students, and he really appreciated me very much. And for my wedding, he gave me gifts as well. And he heard that he had come to the States here, and he was a great fundraiser. He felt the need to go, after raising funds, to come back to Malaysia and help churches. You know? And what happened was this, he had this big amount, and he heard about me wanting to buy this property. So he called me up, said, Jeremiah, I heard you're wanting to buy this property. I said, yes. And he said this to me, listen, Jeremiah, I really appreciated even you in my class, and I want you to know this. If you could raise one third, 27,000, right? What is one third?
9,000.
If you can raise 9,000, I'll give you the loan free of interest, or the 18,000. That's what he said. And then he said, don't worry about it, but you can take your time. Only thing, I want you to know that I know you well. You're a church planter. Be faithful to the Lord. The missionaries were not very happy with him making that deal with me. They can be a real problem, you know. They found out that I was just beginning in my ministry. They felt, why should they give it to me? They stopped him. He says, look, no, you crazy. There has to be conditions. You know, what conditions you want? So the condition was this, that if I succeed in doing it, then he can, what? Give me the loan, but I have to pay back one quarter to help other churches as well, back to the district council. And that's not a big problem. If you're going to get that loan. And the Lord worked it out. My father-in-law was retiring, and he had this pension funds and money. And I approached him, saying, listen, Uncle, can you help me out with a loan of $9,000? He looked at me. He says, okay, you want $9,000? Are you able to refund that to me later? I said, sure, I'll do that. He said, okay, it's done. See, I had the $9,000, I had this $18,000, and the Lord undertook for me, by faith, mind you, the Lord given, and 31st December, I had the check for $27,000. Why? Because of my faith in knowing the Lord will provide. I was very clear. That was it. And they started calling me from one of my colleagues, you know, back home, man of faith, man of faith. The other thing was this. Malaysia is an Islamic country. Missionaries can only stay for 10 years, and the 10 years was coming to close for many of them, and they were really tricky too. There were two lady missionaries from India who had come along. They thought they were going to stay with us for another 10 years. No, they said, you are fulfilling the others who had left who had been 8 years, you can only have 2 years. That's what they said. And Sister Colleen Gwynes was a missionary to India. She can speak Tamil, I can't speak the language. And what happened was this, in 1972, he passed away, Dr. Chris Thomas, not T.V. Thomas, Chris Thomas from Seattle, he was the general superintendent, I was the general secretary. He was very burdened for the Tamil-speaking people. And he felt he should start a Bible college. So when we wanted to start a Bible college, I was roped in and I became the chairman of the board. Alright? Now, as being the chairman of the board, I had missionaries in the board as well. I talk to you, I tell you, sometimes you have problems. Instead of being a blessing and encouragement, they can be a real obstacle. Okay? Now, what happened was this. When they had really desired, you know, to get this school going on, in 1978, Dr. Thomas had to leave the country. And there was no one who could help the Tamil Bible College. There were other problems that came about. But then, what happened was this, that I had to assume the responsibility of administrative principal because there were Tamil lecturers. And they were in rented buildings and it was very difficult to get funds coming along. But because of the lifestyle I've been living, trusting the Lord, and I was reluctant to, you know, assume the responsibility. But God had to deal with me to get this particular position. And one of the things I told the Lord, I believe you can provide for us a place, a campus, for the students. You can provide for us. And then he was wondering, you know, and I said to the Lord, I was literally trying my very best to let somebody else take over the position. But lo and behold, there was somebody who wanted to donate a piece of land, but it didn't work out for us. And I had to assume the responsibilities. So when I assumed the responsibilities, I was in Seoul, Korea at Dr. Cho's church. It was the largest church at the time. And now I said, I understand Africa has no more larger churches as well. All right, I was in Dr. Cho's church. And here we were being an administrator of our college and being the general secretary. We were sitting down listening and Dr. Cho was talking about the fourth dimension, praying and all these things. And he says, I want you to believe God. Vision. And then if you want to take, draw maps, you see, what you want, you see. And there were two people who were needing funds. Myself from Malaysia and the one from Thailand. Alright? So what happened was this, that they were asking, okay, somebody really needs. And I was praying, Lord, I had visioned this place. I needed a place where I can have a girl's dormitory and a man's dormitory. And especially for to teach us to stay in rooms, you see. And I said, Lord, you give me this place. And I prayed along, said. And I was saying, Lord, you're going to give me this. See. Lo and behold, when the decision was made, the funds did not come to me. It went to the person in Thailand. And I was disappointed. I said, Lord, what's going on? I came back home. And one of my former friends of mine, who was a pastor, who was doing evangelism, he had been as a guest in my home. And when he came back, he was literally laughing and joking with me. Jeremiah, you can't speak the language. You become an administrative principal of Tamil Bible College. You should be the principal of the English Bible College. Because I sat as a board of director for the English Bible College as well. He said, I can't believe that you're going to be there. I said, look, Ronnie, this is what happens. They are in need, and I'm looking for a place. And all of a sudden, he looks at me, he says, Hey, you're serious, huh? I said, yes, I'm serious. What do you mean? I've already assumed the position. I've told the Lord I came back. And the next moment he says, look, there were about 10 businessmen who started this project in an area where there were more Tamil estates and plantations. And they were wanting to have aquaculture, prawns. They had this 10-acre property with these two houses, which was ideal. And he says, the more I think about it, I feel that, you know, they gave me the option that I could probably get, you know, some commission. Now, I don't want any commission. Let me give you the people who you need to contact. He calls them and he tells them, hey, you look, I have this pastor friend of mine. Could you, you know, consider? And they were interested and they asked, why not? You see? So they wanted to meet me. Okay, I went out with them to check out with them. Now, I wanted to see this place. Listen, folks, sometimes it can be difficult. I went to see, there were 7 directors. All right? They sat down and they said, okay, they told one of the, you take him a couple of miles away, take him and show him the place. And I was coming to this place because Ronnie Khan had mentioned to me about these two places. And I tell you, folks, to come to the place, I need to walk because it's all fenced up. It is by a river and I had to walk. And then you need to have, they had a boat to go around. I didn't have the boat. Then they said you can walk by the fence, the wooden fence, and by a clinic, there was a clinic down there, and you walk. I tell you, I saw the place. Wow, it looked from far. The roofs were so nice. Then when he stopped the car, this director stopped the car, Reverend, we have to walk, you know, by the side of the fence. Listen, folks, I was walking along, we need deep mud by the side. I said, Lord, this is not the place. This is not the place. And I walked along until I finally came to this place of the gate that they had. And the woman looked, and I saw this place in the building. He said to me, Pastor, this is the place. And I looked in and I felt such an assurance that this is the place that the Lord wanted me to have. And the director says, I understand that you are one who prays for people also to be blessed and to really have anointed with the Holy Spirit. And he says, I'd like you to pray for me. Would you pray for me? You know what I did? Right here, in this very place. Ministered him, laying hands. He had such a presence of the Lord come upon him. He began to worship the Lord and he had such peace. And he said to me, and he began to burst forth in tongues. Oh, praise the Lord. And I tell you, he was amazed. When he drove back, he says, Reverend, what do you think? I said, well, I believe so. Went back to the directors. We had dinner. And they were asking me, you know what was the figure? They had asked for 200,000. Then they came out with 175,000 if I were to take the place. And I said to myself, no. Sat down. I didn't have any funds. Here I am, I felt that it was of the Lord. So here I am asking the Lord, okay, what am I going to do? I explained to them, sorry, I can't, you know. They said, you know, why? Because the Assemblies of God, some of them are big churches, and the pastors were talking about their missions budget of $1 million at times they're getting. They said, probably I could raise that funds and give it. I said, no, I'm not involved in that area, you know. It's just I want you to know. Then they asked me, okay, they asked, the 7 of them got together, said, can you give us a few minutes? They went on. Each of them had shares. Okay, each of them had shares, and they all had $5,000 shares. Okay? 175,000. So, 7 of them, if 5,000, how much is off now?
35,000.
Huh? 35,000. From 175,000, they said, if you can come up with 140,000, it's yours. I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't think so, this is it. No, I don't think so. You know? And I came back. I was staying with another old family friend of mine who was involved, and they were friends of this Gideon people, fellowship. And he was supposed to take me to... I have some water. Supposed to take me to the airport to fly off to Penang. I was in the capital. Well, to Penang. And I was trying to sleep. I couldn't sleep. And the Lord was just, you know, saying, and one of the figure that I gave them was, thank you.
Should be going, right?
A few minutes, then we'll go. The figure was this. They asked me, how much would you think you'll earn? Out in the blue, I said, $100,000. Yeah. I didn't have any funds. And yet, I felt that there was a figure. $100,000, I said. I don't know why I said that. And I came back, and Joseph P. was asking me, what's the name? So I told him, hey, some of your friends are the directors. Oh, really? So we went to bed. Early morning, 5 o'clock, I had to get up and go to the airport. Joseph P. is a man of prayer. You see, he had got up, I don't know what time, and he was praying. I was praying, said, Lord, please, Lord, I don't. And I felt the Lord rebuking me. Oh, you can trust for $100,000 when you don't have, when they're offering for $140,000. Don't you think that I can help? I said, Lord, I don't know. I may open my big mouth. Please help me, Lord. I need to sleep, Lord. You know, I was doing everything, counting sheep over and radio. Come on, he would do that, right? Here I was praying along. Finally I said, okay, Lord, I need to sleep. This is what I'll do. If anybody is asking me about this property, I said, I'm not going to ask you for funds. I'm just going to tell them exactly what it is, and that's it. You have to speak to the person and say, yes, we will be able to contribute. I was a hard bargainer with the Lord too. So this is what happened. Early morning, I saw him pray along. He gets up, and then I come down, and he has made my cup of coffee and a toast. And I was saying, so I said, Brother Jeremiah, how did it go? In short form, they call me Jerry, you know. So Brother Jerry, how much did it go? So I explained to him what transpired. He had this checkbook, folks, you know. For some reason, I couldn't understand. He had this checkbook, and this is what he says to me. I will be the first contributor. He writes out $1,000. My wife helps in music. So the Tamil students need some form of music. He says, why don't you teach us, Mabel, to help teach music? He says, I want to get a little pump organ for $500. That's another $500. And gives to me. This is the beginning, he says. I said, Lord, what's happening to me? I just said, you know, that this is it. I didn't even mention to him or begged him. And yes, he's writing out this check and telling me more to come. And he wants to know who are the directors. I told the directors. And I flew back. And I had another missionary friend of mine came to the airport, Severs. They came to the airport to pick me up. And I had morning breakfast with them. Now, in the meantime, Joseph Pei calls one of the directors and is asking them, hey guys, you call him, he says, they're poor, you know, they need help. What do you mean they were selling for $140,000? Can you chop it down some more? They came about and said, look, we've chopped down another $10,000. $130,000. And here I am in this home of a missionary. We share pulpits in camps and retreats, both of us. And so he was asking me, hey, what happened, Jeremiah? You want to see this land? So I was telling him, I said, Brother Seward, Sister Seward, listen, I have a hard time and I can't understand what the Lord dealt with me. And I explained to him, you know, he was listening to me, what I was saying to him. He calls and says, Margaret. No, Margaret is the one, the wife calls him. Fred, come on. They walk over to the kitchen area and they're discussing some things. They come back and they say, Brother, Sister Jeremiah, I want you to know, we felt that also the Lord, we don't have the money, but we are pledging $200,000. I said, Lord, what's going on here? I don't understand. See, folks, listen, just like that, I had people come about and give money. I was in Singapore, ministering in Singapore. I'd mentioned, a fellow came along and he said to me, Pastor, I have this, you know, some money to give it to you. And that's for the property that you mentioned. Can we help? See, and he wanted to give. And it was in Singapore currency. I said, listen, I'm going back to Malaysia. Go and change in the airport or something. See? So he changed the whole money. And listen, those days, you cannot take more than $1,000 cash. And I landed in Malaysia, in Penang, I had $4,600. Someone else, I was preaching in another church, they said, we heard you now. Here, this is a check, $500. And just like that, money came along. And by the time, you know, that I was making this deal, the Lord spoke to other people's heart. And now thinking of taking a loan from the bank, the Lord ministered to various individuals, and they came about, the Full Gospel Businessman chapters came along, and they were willing to stand by to help out with the rent, with the interest, whatsoever difficulty. One fellow stood up, you want to just pay interest if you had difficulty? We guys should help him. They got together and they decided, let's give him an outright gift of $50,000. Then I had another businessman, you know, comes along, who's a millionaire. I'd helped him and encouraged him. He turns along and he says to me, I heard you're buying this property, Pastor. And I've already, see, by then I've already moved into this property. He comes along, he sees this whole place, and he says to me, listen, I have this amount. He writes us a check of $25,000, adds another $5,000 to buy something, you know, if I need it. Those days, you what do you call the Xerox machine? Gastener. Okay? He says, get something or something else, any improvement. He gives it to me. And he says, more to come. Folks, listen. Within 2 years, he gave the money. It was all paid for. And the former owners, and I had read out the check and gave it to them. They looked at me and says, you said you had no money. We were trying to help you with a bank loan as well. You were the virgin. How is it? I said, the Lord provides. I can tell with you other things. Time has gone. Go for lunch.